Ahoy there, Bradford here, and before we get to this carefully crafted episode, I just want to let you know we're going to be having a meetup in Annapolis this week, so stay tuned during this episode for more info on that. This year, I wanted to throw it open to everyone who's been kind enough to listen to How Not to Sail. Of course, I'll have a little something special for the Patreon crew, which I may have to mail out because that's how things are rolling right about now. But I also plan on having a little something for all my fellow How Not to Sailors. But irregardless, as my friend Bill would say, here's the story of what transpired during Hurricane Idalia, which any Southerner would pronounce Idalia, in case I slip up, which I will. Anyway, stay tuned for the info on Annapolis, and here's episode 50 of How Not to Sail.
So is it time to freak out yet?
No, you tell me.
Maybe time to freak out.
Well, we're in that season again.
Does it look like a hurricane now, or what?
And a particular storm is headed right toward my boat.
All right, let's talk tropics, guys. This is Invest 93L.
What could possibly go wrong?
It's not looking good, so I'll give you that.
How Not to Sail, sponsored this episode by our awesome Patreon patrons, like Wayne Stinnett. Also by BobBitchin.com and the Bob Bitchin YouTube channel. Latitudes and Attitudes, America's number one boating lifestyle magazine. And the book, How Not to Sail, which even I can find easily at HowNotToSail.com.
Okay, then.
The Admiral shared a great post from our harbor master, Dennis, just as Hurricane Idalia was about to make landfall.
He said, waiting on a hurricane is like being stalked by a turtle.
Well put, Dennis.
But a few days earlier than that, it's a Saturday in late August, near the peak of the hurricane season.
This system, which is not developed yet, but it's a good chance we're going to see this system develop. There's an 80% probability in the next 7 days.
As is usual in late July, I'm keeping a close eye on the tropical Atlantic weather. And I've been studying a bunch of so-called spaghetti maps for one particular thing.
The models are all showing this moving into the eastern Gulf, over Florida, and then off the southeast coast.
And that thing is currently called Invest 93L.
All right, let's talk tropics, guys. This is Invest 93L. They named it.
This fella seems pretty excited about it.
You see where we've got a center point, because it's an invest, and that's great.
I've decided that invest means if you've invested in a boat anywhere on the peninsula of Florida or adjacent to the Atlantic or Caribbean seas or the Gulf of Mexico, you'd better invest a little time in following the summer tropical weather.
The models start running with a single center point.
And that center point, as of right now, is near where the thumb of the Yucatan Peninsula points toward the western tip of Cuba.
One model will take it from here and go that way, one model will go that way, but they're all...
Now, some old salts might accuse me of being a little too worried-like, saying I'm paying too much attention to all this new technology. But I'm keeping a weather eye on Invest 93L, because if it becomes a storm, it'll become Tropical Storm Idalia. On the Gulf Coast of Florida, we don't like storms that start with the letter I.
The I's don't like us.
From Irma to Ian to what might be Tropical Storm Idalia.
They all start with I, yeah.
Hurricane Irma came way too close for comfort a few years ago, and Hurricane Ian last year devastated the Fort Myers area. By Sunday, it appears that Invest 93L will become Tropical Storm Idalia. And there's a good chance it'll eventually become Hurricane Idalia.
Does it look like a hurricane now, or what?
Getting more interesting by the hour.
And so on Sunday, not long after happy hour, I call my friend and boat neighbor, Jim.
Yesterday he said, yeah, it doesn't look like nothing's going to happen, and now all of a sudden they're talking about a hurricane. Like, what the f***?
Yep, and the cone includes Gulfport now.
I was actually planning to go down to the boat to do some maintenance and make sure she was squared away, but based on what the increasingly accurate weather models were saying, it seemed like it might be a bad idea.
Thank goodness you wised up and didn't go.
The Admiral was glad I didn't go down to the boat. Instead, she could have me around the house bitching and moaning.
You were tweaky. pacing, hair rubbing, Weather Channel watching.
I was going to drive down tomorrow, and then I started looking at the cone. I'm like, well, there may be like evacuations coming the other way. And
yeah, it might not be a good idea.
So I started to break my situation to my friend Jim.
And my truck may drown in the parking lot or something.
Right, exactly.
Jim's response is exactly what I was hoping for.
You know, if you want, I'll go take all that canvas off so it doesn't get ripped up.
Now that's what I'm talking about, how not to sailors.
Regardless, I mean, if it looks like we're going to get hit, I will make sure your boat is as safe as I would make my boat.
I gotta admit, I'm probably not a typical cruiser. I have yet to go to a potluck or participate in a radio net, but I do love the camaraderie that exists between people that go around in boats.
Right. But you know, I think we got a little bit to wait yet to see what the hell is going to happen.
I feel like Jim is probably about to regret offering to help.
And take the top of the Dodger off also, yes?
No, I think you'll find that to be a cluster also.
Okay, then no more cluster. All right.
I found out pretty quick after buying my sailboat that every captain has a different way of doing things, and also that everybody else is wrong. For example, my boat neighbor Bernie thinks that my dock lines are too low and that in the event of storm surge, it will hold my 18,000-pound boat down in the water and drown it. Whereas my admittedly rudimentary understanding of physics suggests that the boat has 18,000 pounds of lift and will either break the dock lines, pull the pilings out, or just rip the dock lines off the pilings. Meanwhile, I have seen Bernie's boat with its high dock lines hanging from those lines at low tide. Potato, potato. If you're confused about all this business about the height of the dock lines and why you don't just tie them down to the dock, you may be used to floating docks at many marinas. My marina has fixed docks, so instead of the docks going up and down with the tide, your boat goes up and down, and you have to account for that. Fortunately, the tidal range around Tampa and St. Pete is only a couple of feet normally, but these tropical storms and hurricanes can change all that by a lot.
So here's what we're looking at for our storm surge forecast up and down the coast, Tampa area, 4 to 9 feet in that orange forecast. We'll have more on all this coming up.
You hate to have anybody but you responsible for your vessel, but if I can't get down there myself, it sure is comforting to be able to rely on someone like Jim as we watch the spaghetti models start to come into agreement. Idalia is still only a tropical storm, but is predicted to get much stronger. And as we look at a forecast map with our marina, we're surrounded by that multicolored spaghetti.
It's not looking good, so I'll give you that.
Now here is Tropical Storm Idalia. The convection is really intensified around the center tonight.
By Monday morning, I'm definitely beginning to get more nervous.
It has strengthened considerably. Maximum sustained winds now at 60 miles an hour with a hurricane warning in effect for the western tip of Cuba.
These storms that originate in or near the Gulf of Mexico don't give us remotely as much warning as those that form off Africa. And although Idalia is nominally in the northwestern Caribbean, she's already got one foot in the Gulf of Mexico. In fact, even though landfall is 2 days off, Idalia is almost as close to the boat as I am in Georgia.
This is Tropical Storm Idalia right now in the Caribbean Sea. It's been hanging out across the Yucatan, but it's starting to move north at 7 miles per hour. And once this gets moving, it is going to move fast and it's going to strengthen fast.
I get a glimmer of hope from the fact that the hurricane is predicted to make landfall a little to the west of us, but it's still possible the eyewall could pass right over us with the strongest winds of the whole storm. And one particular part of the forecast is not good at all.
It has the potential to become a major hurricane. That would be a Category 3 before making landfall, likely along the west coast of Florida, late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning.
Well, that's not good. That's not good at all.
So is it time to freak out yet?
don't know. You tell me.
Maybe time to freak out.
So now we're dealing with a storm that could very likely become a major hurricane. It's only 2 days away, and as far as we know, we could still be right in the strongest winds. I think freaking out at this point would be a highly appropriate idea. And freak out we probably shall, right after I thank our awesome Patreon patrons. And just as a reminder, you can help keep How Not to Sail afloat for as little as $3 a month. Just go to hownottosail.com/Patreon and find the level of support that suits your fancy. The bigger the crew, the more time I can spend on the podcast. But not to worry, if you're not in a position right now to contribute in dollars, doubloons, or ducats, you can help out by simply telling a friend about How Not to Sail. And if you feel extra irie and want to leave a nice 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, I won't be mad about that at all. Also, stay tuned at the end of this episode because I'm going to have some info about a get-together at a certain boat show coming up soon.
West 2's Bob Hazen is in Seminole County where sandbag sites are getting ready to open. But first, we want to get to our team of meteorologists.
I'm no meteorologist, but by this last Monday in August, it's obvious that the stuff is about to hit the fan.
So the very latest advisory just coming in seconds ago, 5 a.m. advisory, has winds now up to 65 miles an hour and the pressure dropping.
But it is certainly possible that those gusts will be higher, especially dependent upon where the storm actually ends up tracking.
So it's tracking over that warm water. That does not inhibit intensification whatsoever. In fact, it aids it.
Here, places like Tampa Bay, 4 to 7 feet, the 6 to 9 feet as you head up toward Hudson.
It could be a lot of cleanup, could be a lot of repair.
Yeah.
It could be days or weeks.
Are we having fun yet?
It's hot.
Jim's been paying attention too, and he is also not happy with what's going on.
Yeah, so we got giant tides already, and we're going to get some water.
The main focus of our GAM today is storm surge and dock lines.
You're saying on the pines, keep the lines, the dock lines low. That's what you're saying.
Well, I mean, where they are, I keep them like...
The reason we're focusing so much on storm surge is it's kind of a big deal on the Gulf Coast.
Now, one thing about the Gulf Coast of Florida is the one, how quickly you kind of have that incline leading up to the coast, but two, how far away from the actual shore that you have that kind of shallower water that acts as just like basically like a ramp up onto shore.
Jim feels like we still have a bit of time to get squared away.
This thing's not hitting until late tomorrow night, early morning.
Yeah.
Correct? Yeah.
But he may not have as much time as he thinks.
I don't know if what zone you're in there, but I just saw there's a evacuation order for Zone A.
I'm sure this is Zone A.
Probably, yes. So I don't know how long you got to until they start chasing you out.
So that's more than 330,000 residents of Pinellas County already asked to evacuate ahead of what is anticipated to be major hurricane Idalia here in the next, say, 24 to 36 hours. Storm surge watches.
So I don't know if Jim's going to be able to get our boats squared away before he's forced to evacuate. And there's another potential problem. As has happened before, this storm could also flood our house in Atlanta. You see, we live in the lowest point in our hilly neighborhood, next to a creek. A fact reinforced by this nice little rainstorm Monday night.
The backyard's starting to look a little damp. I'm concerned the ground is going to be just saturated enough so it can get a nice flood. Got a nice big puddle in the middle of the backyard.
I'm sure it'll be fine. Maybe it's time to go back inside.
And we have the brand new advisory.
A severe thunderstorm warning has been issued for our area.
Tropical storm, but it is...
That's odd. Not that often you get a local thunderstorm warning on top of a hurricane report.
But it is on the cusp of becoming a hurricane and then a potentially rapidly strengthening one as it goes into the Gulf of Mexico. North at 8 miles an hour, so it is...
Tuesday morning, August 29th.
Tampa Bay, you do not know about what you're going to be dealt. All right? Please prepare in Tampa Bay.
Idalia is going to make landfall as a major hurricane.
And even beyond that, there are going to be impacts for Georgia and the Carolinas, and we'll have much more on that coming up.
I'm now obsessing over every little blip in the hurricane track.
Concerned about a little jog to the east, I thought the track looked like it was making recently, but...
Not only is our boat in danger of being destroyed, but also our house in Georgia could be flooded again.
What did you see?
I think it hasn't changed from last night. I think it's a less of a chance that we're going to get a whole lot here.
I think it's more of a chance we'll get more here.
You think so?
The fact is, we just don't know. We're now pretty sure Idalia will make landfall to the west of the boat, which puts us somewhere in the bad quadrant of the storm. And as Idalia will prove, it's difficult to know when the surge will peak, or whether our home in Atlanta will get swamped from the rain.
The number one issue with this storm is going to be the storm surge. Number one issue, all right? And we're talking about storm surge like we haven't seen maybe in St. Petersburg, maybe in Tarpon Springs.
President Biden has announced an emergency declaration for Florida, allowing FEMA to help. Florida says it has pre-positioned 2,400 high-water vehicles for rescue operations.
The water is going to get pushed into that bay, and it's going to get forced in and up, and that's what's going to happen in the Tampa Bay. The wind is already piling up the water in the Eastern Gulf. It's starting to pile it up. And each tide is going to get higher and higher and higher.
The National Weather Service in Tallahassee is saying some strong words this morning, saying your preps need to be done by today. And I quote, they say, don't mess around with this.
The news doesn't get any better as the day goes on. Idalia is expected to be a Cat 3 hurricane at landfall. The storm surge where my boat is may be catastrophic. Late in the afternoon, I call my dad.
Hey, Roger.
And tell him that I'm not going down to the boat. Not yet, anyway.
Now, if it becomes a salvage operation for some reason, then I might have to run down there, but hopefully that's not the case.
Just cross your fingers and say a little prayer.
My dad brings up an interesting point. I can certainly pray for the hurricane to strike further west, but does God love me any more than the folks in the Big Bend? And I know people who live further west, like my cousin Sandra. God knows I want her and her family to be safe, and my friends in Apalachicola. But I also want my second floating home to stay safe. It's a hell of a situation.
By tomorrow, 125-mile-per-hour Category 3 may even be intensifying through landfall, so it's conceivable it could get even higher than that.
It's particularly vulnerable to the storm surge and that concave coastline.
Time is really, really running out to evacuate as instructed and to take shelter.
There's really nothing left I can do. So maybe I have a couple of adult beverages, say a little prayer for the good folks on the Gulf Coast, and hit the rack. In the morning, I don't want to get up, but I shuffle over to where the Admiral's getting ready for work.
Well,
you're fine.
She seems to think everything's going to be okay.
Well, look, the path changed a little bit. It was a Cat 4. It hit at a Cat 3. See, it turned even more. Came up and turned.
She says the Weather Channel isn't even showing anything from Tampa Bay, so I guess that's a good sign.
Clearwater has 3.5 feet of storm surge. Cedar Creek was the only one that got really, like, 6 foot.
Are we done?
No. It's still going, the back of it's still going through up. But I think it's going to be fine.
I don't feel like we're out of the woods just yet, because by my calculations, the tide should still be coming in. But I go back to bed. I set my alarm for 9:55, but I can't get back to sleep. I roll from side to side. I try to recollect the lyrics to Hotel California. Then I see the texts from Jim. You've lost your dock box. Boat is sitting perfectly in the slip. I had to pull mine off a piling. Expecting a couple more feet here shortly. I also see this text is from a couple of hours ago. Time to call Jim for the details.
What's the word?
Your boat is like the only one that didn't have any problems.
Sweet.
I know. It's like I had a problem, but you didn't.
Huh.
So, in the water, I don't understand, but it keeps dropping. The wind's howling, but I guess it's blowing straight in from the west, and that doesn't fill the bay up.
Huh.
So, that's good.
We're supposed to have 2 more hours of rising tide normally.
Well, I'm just telling you, the storm surge is receding.
Good.
Now, I know there's a certain fascination among us humans with the destruction wrought by these hurricanes. But if you're curious what J.C. Sales looks like as a pile of kindling, you may have to wait till next time. The boat was fine. My cousin was fine. As far as I know, my friends were fine. And that, as Martha Stewart might say, is a good thing. There are a lot of things involved in having your boat on the ocean that I didn't have to deal with at the lake, but I think it's worth it. There's risk in everything anyway. There's risk if you take your boat out. There's risk if you walk around in a big city. There's even risk if you sit at home. And anyway, we made it through this storm. What could possibly go wrong?
And we are expecting Tropical Storm Lee, which right now is maintaining tropical storm strength, to become a major hurricane and rapidly intensify here over the short term.
We're getting into the teeth of hurricane season, so we could have a very active next month, month and a half, before all things are said and done.
Yeah, I suppose there's that. Hey, How Not to Sailors, before I thank our awesome Patreon patrons, I need to make an important announcement regarding the Annapolis Boat Show. And that is that, like last year, we're going to have a meetup at Davis's Pub on Friday the 13th at 4 to 6 p.m. I shit you not. And unlike last year, this one's going to be open to all How Not to Sailor listeners, but I'm going to have something special for the patrons. Which I may have to mail you because that's how things are rolling. Also, God willing and her schedule permitting, we'll have the Admiral there. So come on down to Davis's Pub at the corner of Chester and 4th Street, as I recall. And anyone wearing How Not to Sailor gear or who can tell me their favorite part of a How Not to Sail episode, I'll be buying us a round of beverages. You might even get one of these cool new How Not to Sail koozies. And like I say, as always, I'm going to have a little something extra I'll be sending along to any of our Patreon crew that show up. I'm talking to you, Carrie, George, Tad, Sandra, and Jimmy, and anybody that wasn't there last year, but is going to be this year. If you have any questions, just email me at bradford@hownottosail.com or however you usually send me a message. And remember, I won't cry at all if you feel like wearing your How Not to Sailor gear around the boat show or the Latitudes and Attitudes party, like our friend Tad last year. The more that sponsors see of How Not to Sail floating around, the more How Not to Sail I can annoy you with. Okay, so it's time to give a special shout out to our awesome Patreon patrons. Like Wayne Stinnett, whose podcast I was on a couple of weeks ago, the Talk Right podcast, and who just had an uber-successful writer's meetup in Florida. And our very first patron, Captain Boomies, whose podcast I was also on a week or so ago. Along with Ed the Bearded Boat Broker, who I hope to see in Annapolis, they have the Funny Boat podcast. So if you're into writing, I recommend the Talk Right podcast with Wayne Stinnett and Nick Sullivan. And if you like funny things regarding boating, obviously you might want to check out the Funny Boat podcast. Okay, I think I need to leave it there for now, but I hope to see you in Annapolis. If you got any questions, hit me up at bradford@hownottosail.com. As always, I appreciate you listening, and I'll see you next time on How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.
Is the stress worth it to have a boat on the salt water?
As long as we watch the hurricanes from the home, yes.